Thank you, Mr. West Tuttle. Okay, let's get ourselves prepared for a morning of worship. We have a lot of things to cover that I want to do this morning, so let's go into prayer and then let's sing. But let's first of all get ourselves oriented and adjusted as to trusting His Spirit, and all that we do will be glorifying. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for the opportunity to come and assemble ourselves with other believers who are like-minded for the specific purpose of worshiping You. Worshiping You in everything that we do, Father, in song, in prayer, in giving, in the opening up of the text, and even in our fellowship with one another. So many reasons why You established the local assembly at the ascension of Jesus Christ. And Father, we pray that all that we do this morning will be to fulfill those purposes. Glorify You, Father. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, let's sing. Okay, let's go over things coming up. First of all, I'll be leaving for Africa Tuesday, so we'll not have class, of course, Tuesday, Wednesday. And then for the next three Sundays. Let's see, the 22nd, and then 29th. There's, the first, and let's see, it'll be two because I'm coming back the 5th of March. So you got two Sundays. Yes, that'd be the 22nd and the 1st. So y'all got to be ready right fast. So 22nd and the 1st. And then, let's see, that'd be the 8th, will be the second Sunday of March. Okay? John Hintz will be here to teach because we'll be getting ready to go to the pastor's conference in Houston. And they got some good things lined up there. And then we'll be back on schedule. Now, on the 1st, if I'd have just looked at that, I've seen it. On the 1st is communion. You knew that, okay? Is communion. And the theme will be Italian. Ooh, I'm going to miss that. Ooh, I'll be eating mush rats or something. But y'all are having Italian. Well, they do have a, what do they call it, a brush? I'll call it brush rat. Brush something, and it is a large rat. But they say it's really good. So, yeah, you'll be thinking about me. One time they served us something in Nigeria, and I looked at Dan, and he looked at me. And what they did there, they let the pastors go over and do whatever they're going to do around the village, and they fed us and out, so they left us alone. And both Dan and I looked. No, so we put it back in the bowl because they're going to eat it. So we weren't throwing it away. The big bowl, we put it back. And we ate some of the other stuff like rice. And then we went to our room and we had us our health bar and beef jerky. We have beef jerky all the time. So, so it's Italian brunch, spaghetti, raviola, lasagna, pizza. Okay, so that's what you got. And Philip will be teaching the next two Sundays, so that'll be great. And let's see. Yeah, it'll be right, 17. Okay. Any questions on that? On the schedule? Okay. No questions. Good. you know, I'm going to be going to Africa with Dan and Pat and Joe. I hope you all got to read the little pamphlet from the Grace Gospel Missions about Joe. And he'll be coming in Monday and staying with me Monday night, and then we'll go to the airport Thursday. And so please be in prayer. I'm going to say more about the trip later, so I'll just let that be that. Let's talk about prayer. Okay, first of all, we need to continue to be in prayer for Tish. She continues to fight cancer. Is it having to, her not feeling good today, have anything to do with that?
She's trying to get a bug.
Okay. Yeah, well, they're all out. What does she mean trying to get them? They're everywhere. We got to dig one around here.
She didn't want to share it.
Okay. Didn't want to share with us. All right. I understand. So we need to continue to be in prayer for Tish. We need to continue to be in prayer for Nathan. Nathan's going through some difficult time. But what else is new in the Army, huh, Jim? My goodness. So we need to be in prayer for Nathan. We need to continue to be in prayer for Judith Young's mother and dad. I went by and saw her mother yesterday and doing very well. But dealing now, and I can understand this, dealing with some fear and going home when she has to go home, and it just loses that comfort once that is, your house has been invaded and you've been beaten up. So let's be in prayer for her physically. It seems to be pretty much over that now, but let's be in prayer for her emotional and state and the fear of being in the house like that. And they still haven't worked out everything because her husband, Judith's father-in-law or stepfather, isn't going to be able to go home. We definitely need to be in prayer for him. He's not doing well physically or emotionally, so let's be in prayer for Harold. Speaking of Harold, we need to be in prayer for Harold Simonson here, our church. He's cancer, just taking him down slowly, so we definitely need to be in prayer for him in so many different respects. So please be in prayer for Harold and Lila, his wife, of course. Need to be in prayer for Bill Hess. I'm going to try to go by and see Bill today, maybe tomorrow, but hopefully today. And so let's be in prayer for Bill Hess. Need to be in prayer for Rick's sister, Helen. She's just still fighting all of these things, right? So we need to be in prayer for Helen. And let's see, who else do we need to be in prayer for? Anybody have any prayer requests? Yes.
Cadence, the 3-year-old little girl that was my friend's daughter,
Yes. Yes.
Now she's got some more problems. I don't remember the name of it. But it's like loss of the blood to like her legs and her arms and stuff. So she has a cast on her legs. So she's just...
Well, she's really... How old is she?
She's three.
Three now, okay.
Yeah, and then Jordan is also pregnant, so she's due in June.
Okay. Oh, my goodness, all right. We definitely need to be in prayer. The one getting married, they need all the prayer they can get. And then, or pregnant, not married. She's already married. She's pregnant. Definitely all the prayer she can get. Oh, yeah. And what's the three-year-old's name?
Her name's Cadis.
Cadis? Mm-hmm. We definitely need to be in prayer for her. My goodness. Well, it's so tough. The world's going to be rough enough as they get older. Start out that way. My goodness. All right. Romeo.
Just a prayer for a newfound friend. Her name is Helen.
Helen?
Her husband just died.
Oh.
Heidi. Her name is Heidi.
Heidi, okay.
Her husband just died. She has three children, and she lost everything when her husband died. She doesn't even drive yet.
Mm. We need to be in prayer for Heidi and her children and whatever God is doing in their life. Yes.
You know, I have a friend. It's actually a friend of my boss. And
yes.
Her name is Denise.
And Denise.
She's been fighting cancer for a good while, but they've given. She's in her 50s, and they've given her 2 months now.
Oh, wow.
So they're going to try some sort of extreme trial thing on her, but I don't really give her much hope. And so her son has quit his job. He's come back to be with her. And the husband is not dealing with it well. So if there's Denise and Dennis is the husband, and Jeff is his son. If you could remember.
We need to be in prayer for Denise and her family, whatever God is doing with Denise and her life.
Right.
My goodness. There's always, through history, been something that comes along, and right now we're dealing with cancer. And so... God promised Oral Roberts he had given the cure to cancer, but it didn't happen, and the tower is now an office building. So I don't know about that, but we definitely need to be in prayer for her. Any other prayer requests? Yes.
Our oldest son, Seth, yes. Starts college next month.
So oh, wow.
Not just for college, but it's a big step in his life and some changes he's gone through. So.
All right.
Pray that works out.
Now, is that going to give you an extra room in the house?
No, it's just going to put us in debt.
Well, better pray for him and for y'all. My goodness. Whoa. Okay. My goodness. And please be in prayer. A lot of you know her, Nancy Becker, my friend Nancy Becker. They're at the Mayo Clinic right now. They've been running tests last Thursday, Friday, and they're going to continue it Monday and Tuesday. And she's just not doing well, people. And they don't know why. They don't know what's going on. And they've in Kansas City, they ran a great number of tests. Now they're running more, I guess, advanced, you'd call them advanced tests at the Mayo Clinic. And so please be in prayer that they can find what's going on in her body. It's making her so weak and different areas hurt. So please be in prayer for Nancy Becker and Don Becker. Her husband's there. And it's really rough on him. I know she's the one suffering and all, but it's rough on him. There's his wife, and there's nothing he can do. He's just totally hopeless and has to depend totally on the Lord. And I said, well, Don, that's a good place to be, totally on the Lord. And but it is rough on Don, so please be in prayer for Don and Nancy Becker and their family at this time. Kid, how's Alicia doing?
As far as I know, she's still doing well. I haven't heard from her in a
Okay. Well, we'll just continue to be in prayer. She's fighting her own battle, and hopefully she can get into the spiritual aspect of that battle. So that'll be good. Okay. The Word of God declares, whatsoever man purposeth in his soul to give, so let him give, not grudgingly nor of necessity. For God loveth a gracious giver. The gracious giver is first of all one who has accepted Christ as Savior, but also who understands how to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. If we give everything we own to the poor so that we ourselves become poor, it profiteth nothing if we have not love. And love is, spiritual love is from the Holy Spirit. So this becomes very important that a person that gives knows how to be filled with the Spirit and give in that light rather than out of the flesh, trying to love God, out of the flesh, bargaining with God, out of the flesh, giving a tenth or a tithe, all these kind of things that people do. It's empty. It's vanity. Only when we give in the power of the Holy Spirit. With this in mind, let us prepare for the offertory by prayer. Heavenly Father, as we come to this facet of worship, we are reminded of the two great spheres of freedom that are involved. First of all, the political, economic freedom. Freedom, Heavenly Father, to work, earn a profit. The freedom to do with our lives and our money and our time as we see fit, to marry, to live, to worship, go to whatever church we wish. This is not true in a lot of places on the earth right now today where they have this freedom. It's becoming less true. There are more and more places on this earth that are losing that freedom out of fear of the Muslims, out of fear of political forces. We value that freedom as long as we have it. Freedom to live our lives as we see fit, not as the government sees fit. To spend our money as we see fit. But there are many economic areas of countries in the world that do not even have that economic advantage to make money, and we may not have it here very long. It's a strong possibility. It's amazing to think that way, Father, for you have blessed this country with that freedom from the inception of this country. For us to even imagine, we may not have that freedom to make a profit, to even worship as we see fit, to be put into prison if we teach certain verses of Scripture. Things are changing in the world we live, Father, and they're changing rapidly, not only in the Middle East, but in the whole world. So as long as we do enjoy this freedom, Father, we thank you for it. A freedom provided by the military, but taken away by politicians. Military personnel, Father, that give their life that we might be free. Many of them are not believers. Many of them are believers. But they sacrifice their lives or part of their lives, put their life in harm's way for freedom's sake, while we're witnessing our politicians taking it away. So, Father, we live in a very chaotic time, a time that many of us never dreamed of, but our children will have to live and experience. But, Father, it is the freedom that we have in Jesus Christ by His death and resurrection, where He has set us spiritually free. It is in this realm, Father, that we have eyes to see what to do with our time, what to do with our money, where to worship and why, where we live, whom we marry, all these things, Father. And the spiritual freedom we have, Father, regardless of the political economic situation. Because of the spiritual freedom we have, we need not be in any fear. We need not be concerned about the things like that. For it is the spiritual realm that is the real battle, the real issue. Father, we thank you so much you've given this humble assembly so many opportunities of spreading the gospel. First of all, right here in our own assembly, our own families here. And then, Heavenly Father, through the internet, tapes and discs, through missionary reach in Mexico, now, Heavenly Father, Africa, and so many other areas that you allow us. You use the message, not us. You use the message of grace and of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's our intent to stay with that gospel and not be swayed away from it under any circumstance. Father, we pray now that you receive the offerings that we're about to give and that you will use them to bring honor and glory to Jesus Christ by the spreading of the gospel. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. I know you've already closed your hymnals, but I want to talk about one thing, just so we're clear. It's a beautiful psalm, beautiful hymn on spreading the gospel, but it says, He will forgive if they only believe. Is that true? No. When are you forgiven? At the cross. And everyone's forgiven. Sins are never the issue in dealing with God and the last judgment for the unbeliever, or the great white throne for the believer. So just wanted to be sure we were like-minded on that. Okay. Romans chapter 2. Be traveling on the plane approximately 17, 18 hours with once a couple of hours in London each way. And I got two things I'm going to concentrate on while on the plane. And one is going to be on glory, and the other is going to be on Romans 2 and 3. We've got to pick this up. And I don't know how, but I'm going to use all the way there on glory and all the way back on Romans, and just see what we can do. And not that we're wasting any time, because I just feel what we're doing is led of the Spirit and it's stuff we need to know. But just going to see if we can't do something to maybe handle a block each Sunday or something. But we'll just see. And if I don't, let me just tell you right now, it's Spirit, because my heart is to get more done. And I'm going to pray that way. But if when I get back down to studying the Greek text and all of that, I may have it down this far, and then when I get to the Greek, and it starts going like this. I don't know. But you can be in prayer about that. Okay, let's begin with the word of prayer and get through this section through 16. And so let's go into prayer for the Spirit to open our eyes. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for the wonderful opportunity that we have to utilize our freedom to come and worship you in the filling of the Spirit and opening up of the Word. Father, we do not want to read into the text what we want it to say. It is our desire that the Holy Spirit takes us into the text and opens it up and reveals what's going on. Father, I pray that this will be done this morning, that we will see the things that you would have us to see, Father. There's so much more in any verse that we carry, that we cover. There's so much more that we do not see. But those things that you would have this assembly see for our corporate growth and corporate worship and corporate service, Father, we pray that your Spirit will open our eyes to these things. Father, we pray it in Christ's name. Amen. Okay. Romans 2:15. And their thoughts, utterly accusing or else defending themselves. Now, people, just take a look at what we've got as far as our makeup is concerned. We have their thoughts. And then we had before that the conscience, the verse just before that. We had hearts. So we've had hearts, the conscience, and thoughts. People, this tells us one thing. The battle is in your soul. The battle is not in the world. The battle is not in the physical things going on. The battle is in our souls. Stress, anxiety, depression, all these things, fear, all these things are battles in the soul. Where you and I live. Can't blame what's going on in the world. Can't blame the president. Can't blame society. Can't blame your neighbor. Can't blame your parents. Can't blame your children. Can't blame your husband. Can't blame your wife. Your battle is in the soul. And these are all just working aspects of it. The heart, the conscience, the thoughts. Verse 9, we had the soul. Verse 9, we had the soul. Verse 14, instincts. All of these things are working inside our soul. And I don't know how, but sometimes talking about trying to get it closer, get more done, but I'd like to just do a study on all these different concepts, the heart, the conscience, the thoughts, the soul, the instincts, the natural desires. All these different words give us a different aspect of who and what we are, what makes us what we are. And so this becomes so important. Now, the conscience It is so vital. The more I studied it and dealing with verses that we didn't do, our conscience is a vital part. And we can corrupt our conscience to the point that you don't want to go by your conscience. Some people, I live by my conscience. Well, that could be very dangerous. And so Paul talks about the conscience that is empowered by the Holy Spirit. So last time we ended with several points dealing with the conscience. Some five or six points in dealing with the conscience. But this morning, I thought about reviewing those, but we need to get on. So let's get on with verse 15. Okay, first of all, and their thoughts. Okay. The thoughts. The word is logismos. The word means, to put it in Texas language, it means to reckon. Well, I reckon. It means to reckon. It means to calculate. It means to consider. You think your way through a series of thoughts with the ideal of coming to a conclusion. So this is what the word thoughts means. What are your thoughts on this? What are your thoughts on God? What are your thoughts on marriage? What are your thoughts on freedom? All of this is our intellect going through. And by the way, many people try to study the Bible by logismos, without the Holy Spirit. Their wisdom, their IQ, their ability to orderly categorize thoughts and doctrines and all these things. People are not going to see the truth. We studied in seminary, people wrote books, never saw the gospel. Now, how ridiculous is that? That you can go through and calculate and categorize and do all of this and miss the simple gospel. It's just amazing. That's what our mind can do. That's what our mind can do. We have to be very dangerous with our thoughts. Now, look what happens inside the soul, the conscience, the mind of a person who lives by that thought process, who lives by the law. Now, there alternates something here. First, this happens, when this happens, it leads to instability. When you go from defending yourself, accusing yourself. Defending yourself, accusing yourself. Inside your own soul, not somebody else. That's bad enough. In studying SAD, I read so much where parents just put such a load on children. You're stupid, you're dumb, you're this, you're that. Man, that's a tough way to get it into the world. Or your own parents start out telling you all those things. You're ugly, you can't do this, and you can't you even pass a spelling test, all this kind of stuff. It's a tragedy. It's like a fighter in a ring, and he goes over to his corner at each of the breaks, and he gets beat up by people in his own corner. I think I'll just go over to that corner over there where there isn't anybody. But that's what we do. So this is something you're doing inside your own mind to yourself. You're accusing yourself, defending yourself. All these things are going on inside you. Now, accusing or else defending. Accusing. Okay, I've done wrong. I've sinned. I've violated the rules. I've hurt people in my own life. Just going on these things, accusing yourself. And you're never going to have peace. If you set up yourself, your own standards, self-imposed, you don't keep them, and so you're no good. You're a loser. Defending. Well, I've done what is right. I've done okay. So why is God allowing these things to happen in my life? I play by the rules. That's with Operation Job. I play by the rules. I did everything. I even offered sacrifices for my children's sins before they even committed the sins. How much better can I be, God? See? And look what you're doing to me. You're doing all these things. This is what you do. You're playing this game. You've got in your mind how it all works. Just like Job. Job had in his mind how God works. If you do good, God blesses. If you do bad, God disciplines. Punishes. So there. So I'm going to play by the rules and everything will go right. And it doesn't go right. There are so many people that go through depression, stress, anxiety right now. Oh, I did all the right things, but I don't have that house with the white picket fence and roses on it, and I've done everything right. It's a bum I married that messed it all up. I had it all right. I didn't go out and have an affair. He did or she did. I was trying to do everything. It just isn't right. So he built all these things up. See, he had a conclusion, first of all. If I do this, then everything's going to be okay. wrong. That is not taught in the Bible. That's not taught. That's what a lot of preachers say the Bible says. But it's not. It doesn't work that way. You have no guarantee. You abide by all the rules, everything's going to be wonderful. It doesn't say that. Now, I don't know about you. I just know me. And I'm telling you, I studied for tests, and I studied and studied, and I knew friends, they just went to a movie, went out and did something else, and they didn't do anything, and they made a much better grade. That's not fair. I worked. I put in the time and study. Yes, it was just the night before the test, but nevertheless, I put in this time and this study. And this yo-yo made an A. People, one thing you should learn, it's a paraphrase of various places in the Bible, life's not fair. And every parent ought to teach their child that right from the beginning. Life is not fair. Some don't have to study. Some others have to study and study and study and still not get there. Life's not fair. You can abide by all the rules of society and things happen bad. Life's not fair. People, that's why God. That is why God is. That's why God offers us salvation in Christ, spirituality in His Spirit. Because of that. So let's take a look now. First of all, accusing. Okay. Accusing yourself. What is the result of accusing yourself? Guilt. I've not done something that I should have. I've done something wrong. Self-imposed norms and standards and builds guilt. I just didn't do it right. Don't deserve to be loved. Don't deserve to be did anything. Shame. I'm so ashamed of what I've done. I'm very sorry. I'm a loser. Not worthy to be loved. All these type of things we start building on ourselves for SAD. Depression. Guilt, shame, depression. I can never be worthy of anyone's love. Certainly not God's. God can never love me, never use me. I'm guilty. I'm shameful. I'm a horrible person. I got an abortion. I'm terrible. God will never love me. God will never use me. These are things that society puts on us, people. Not God! Not the Holy Spirit! We've done this. Society says if you do, you're really bad. And so we pick up those norms and standards of society. And we self-impose them on ourselves. So here's the depression setting in. And so you got all of these things happening. Guilt, shame, depression, just to name a few. Or we defend ourselves. People, this part of our soul is the number one place of religion. Self-righteousness. I've done so good. Defending yourself. I'm really good. I go to church. I pay a tithe. I do this. I do that. And I don't do these things. So you start defending. And so here's the great source of religion, self-righteousness. I'm worthy to be loved by God. Well, look how much I do for Him. I'm worthy to be loved for God. Now, He's not and she's not, but I am. I'm worthy to be loved of God. I'm worthy to judge others. I'm worthy. I'm a step above everyone, so I'm worthy to judge you. I'm worthy to set up these standards. So when you approve of yourself and think that you're worthy, this is the heart of religion. And it's never true. Turn with me just for a moment to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. It's another passage we could spend a great deal of time on, worthy, but let's just note it in passing. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And we want to look at verses 4 through 6. And such confidence we have toward Christ, toward God. Through Christ toward God. Not that we are adequate in ourselves. By anything we do. Not that we're adequate in ourselves. To consider anything as coming from ourselves. People, anything. I'm worthy to be saved. I'm worthy to be used of God. I'm clean. I'm moral. I'm this. I'm that. Consider ourselves worthy of anything as coming from ourselves. But our adequacy is from God. And people, you can take secular world, the Christian world, It has nothing to do with you and I. It has to do with what happens to us and through us by the power of the Holy Spirit. It's that simple. Okay, but through God. Now verse 6. Who also made us adequate as servants of a new covenant, not of the letter, Mosaic law, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, Mosaic law kills, but the Spirit gives life. So, we're not adequate in ourselves. So if you do something, and it, let's just say a sin, that doesn't mean God's through with you. That doesn't mean you're not worthy to serve. You just get back into the filling of the Spirit. How do you do that? You resume doing what you stopped doing. You were walking by faith in the Spirit. You stop walking by faith. People, you're going to sin. They may be mental sins that the world doesn't see. They may be overt sins that the world sees. But sin is sin. It may be big, may be small. There's no big and small sin. You're out of fellowship. So you just get back. He makes us worthy. You do not make yourself worthy before God. Now, one other point before we move on. The parentheses is now closed. And now come to the end of the sentence. The sentence began in verse 12 and ends in verse 16. So let's just look at verse 12. We'll go back to Romans 2, please. Romans 2. And let's read verse 12, and then we'll jump to 16. Romans 2, 12. For all have sinned without the law. For all who have sinned without the law will perish without the law. And all who have sinned under the law will be judged by the law. Okay, now jump to verse 16. Now remember, the heart here is having or not having the law and being judged. Okay, verse 16. On the day when, according to my gospel, God will judge the secrets of men through Christ Jesus. So verses 13, 14, 15 are a parenthesis. There are parentheses to the text. Now, let's go back now. Verse 16. Verse 16. On the day. On or in the day. Okay. Day is a difficult word. You can't believe the battles that are going on about the word day. A day can refer to 24 hours. Sometimes it can refer to 1,000 years. The millennium is called a day, the Lord. That's 1,000 years, called a day. Sometimes it refers to an instant time, like the day of Christ, the rapture, which occurs in really in just a moment. Here it refers to a certain day set by God, a day that will begin the great white throne judgment. The last judgment, whichever term you like. Every person throughout all history who refuses to believe in Jesus Christ as Savior will be at the last judgment. It's called a day. Big battle on day of the day Christ died. 3 days, 3 nights. And they want to say that a day, there's 3 days from Friday at 6 o'clock to actually Saturday night at 6 o'clock. I don't see how you can do that, and I think that's why the Bible made it clear. 3 days, 3 nights. I don't think if it was up for grabs, he could just say 3 days. And he said 3 days, 3 nights. But we have all these battles. I really don't want to battle with a person about the day Christ was crucified. Do we believe he's crucified for the sins of the world? Yeah. Do we believe that he rose for the life of the world? Yeah. Okay, then. We can have fellowship. I think by Scripture, we make it Wednesday. Others say Friday. I don't know how they can do that. I'm not going to worry about it. Do we believe that he died for the sins of the world? And that's the issue. And do we believe that he rose again to give life that he had? So this becomes a big issue. But in our passage, it refers to a day, a specific time of judgment. In that day, when? Well, there is no when here in the manuscripts. So let's study in the order of the manuscripts, if you don't mind this verse. Let's just study this verse in the order of the manuscripts. Okay, so in that day, God will judge. We don't need when. I don't know why they arbitrarily put that in, but you don't need it. In that day, God will judge. Present active, indicative, chrono, if it's a future tense, this will occur on this day. In that day, God judges the hidden things of men. Okay? The word for hidden is a direct object of the Greek kryptos, hidden. Hidden things. Things that remain secret. Things that remain under a veil. They're a secret. You can't see them. You can't know them. They're in a veil. So this is the word hidden, and it is a kryptos. It's a harsh reality that every unbeliever and every believer needs to be aware of. This is so important for all of us, whether an unbeliever or a believer, whether or not you truly believed in Jesus Christ as Savior. Now, I know a lot of Christians, I mean a lot, that make it their deal, well, they're not really saved. Well, they couldn't do that if they were saved. Or, I don't believe this person's... People, never make yourself a judge. I don't know. There could be preachers, deacons, that are not saved. I believe there are a lot today. A lot of preachers, not saved. They have not believed in Jesus Christ as their Savior. They've invited Him into their heart. They've made Him Lord. All this kind of flesh stuff. They've never just by faith believed in Him. And it's not for us to judge. Somebody says, I have believed in Jesus Christ. I'm not going to argue with him. If he says that in that way, that's fine. If he hasn't, let me tell you, God will judge it. God will know, not me. It's not for us. There's nothing to prove whether or not a person is a believer in Jesus Christ. Now, there will be indications if they are walking by faith in the Holy Spirit. There'll be the fruit of the Holy Spirit in their lives. But as far as salvation, no one will know whether or not you did what you did in the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, you give money. I don't know if you're in the power of the Spirit. I hope you are. But if you gave $1 million and you weren't, that's your problem. We're going to use it. But it's your battle. Whether what you do is in the power of the Spirit or not. You sing, you give, you pray, you come to church. I hope you're empowered by the Holy Spirit for your benefit, because it'll be to your advantage. Okay, we think those things that we do or think is of truth, and really a lot of times are not, and it'll never be known to others. How foolish we are to think that God doesn't know these things, though. You can fool other people. People can't fool God. Don't think you can. You've got something going on in your life, and it's so against the God plan of God. Boom! Don't think He doesn't know. He knows. And don't think, oh well, I'm giving all this money, but not in the power of the Spirit. I want to impress somebody, or I want something back from God. Okay, let's take a look at hidden, just the things hidden. First of all, let's look at Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. We're not going to go through all the verses, but I just want to hit a couple of them. Mark chapter 4. Mark 4, verse 22. Mark 4, verse 22. You need to have this in your mind. You need to have this in your soul. For nothing is hidden except to be revealed. So what that means is, it may be hidden for a while. It may be hidden to the world. It may be hidden, but it'll come up, except to be revealed. Nor has anything been secret, but that it should come to light. So the world may not know about things that we said were in the Spirit and all this, but they're going to come to know. It's going to come to light. Let's look at Luke. Luke 8. Luke 8, 17. For nothing is hidden that your thoughts, your actions, whether they were in the filling of the Spirit, for nothing is hidden that shall not become evident, nor anything secret that shall not be known and come to light. Let's look at Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, verse 2. Luke 12, verse 2. But there is nothing covered up that will not be revealed, and hidden that will not be known. So just orient and get oriented to that fact, that if we think we're getting away with something, don't think that. It will be revealed. It will be revealed for the believer, the judgment seat of Christ. We just studied gold, silver, and precious stones, wood, hay, and straw. It's going to be revealed. And a lot of us are going to look and we'll go, wow. Now, think about there and at the last judgment. I want you to be sure you get this. We're not talking about sin. Sin ain't going to be issued. It's gold, silver, precious stones. Those are things we do in the power of the Spirit. Wood, hay, and straw. Those are things we thought we were doing good for God. It's wood, hay, and straw. It's not in the power of the Spirit. It was in our flesh power. It's in our flesh power. If it's an unbeliever, last judgment. Yeah, but look at all the great things I did. Not about sin. It's going to be all those great things I did. No. He puts them in contrast with the work of the Holy Spirit and the power of the Spirit. Boom. You lose. So, just want to be sure we get these things down. All right, all these things will be revealed, whether you work in the flesh or by the power of the Spirit. In that day, God will judge the hidden things of men. Okay, now, according to what? What's going to be the standard? This is very important. Is the standard the Mosaic Law? According to the Mosaic Law? No. Is it going to be according to my righteousness and how you don't add up to my righteousness? No. What's he going to use? Every judge has to have some kind of a thing that he's going to judge by, according by. Just to make it simple. In track, you have the stopwatch. And we're going to see how good you are according to the stopwatch. And boom, well, you did real good. Boom, you did good. Why don't you just think about playing a violin? Your clock time is terrible. So he's got something. So what's God going to use when he looks at our hidden things inside of us? Okay, according to my gospel. According to. Okay, let's take a look. According to, plus the accusative, euangelion, you means good. Angelos means communication, news. The word means good communication or good news. It's what the word gospel means in just a strict transliteration or translation. What we do is we transliterate. What it means, good news. And the good news is not that you're going to hell as an unbeliever. The good news is you can't live up to the righteousness of God, but God's made a way to save you in spite of that. That's good news. That's the good news. So, God is going to judge all unbelievers. The basis of the judgment is going to be the gospel. It's not going to be their sins. Now, let's just run through this aspect very quickly. One, God is perfect righteousness. Period. Even before I get to this, if it just had to come down, what is the gospel? Just simply give me the gospel. For God, He's over everything. So loved, this is the love of God, the world. That's the direction of His love. What's the magnitude of His love? Gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. What's the impact or the effect of His love? That whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. People, the Muslims cannot quote that verse or anything close to it. Allah didn't send anybody to take care of the sins of the world. Just gave them a long list of do's and don'ts. The Buddhists. All of them. They don't have that. We have that. It's about God. It's about His love. It's about the need of sending His Son. And whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. So, let's take a look at the extended aspect of the gospel. God is perfect righteousness. Two, every member of the human race is unrighteous. It's that simple. God is perfect righteousness. We're unrighteous. That doesn't take a lot to grasp that. Now, these are two complete absolutes in total opposition. A thing is what it is. Got this last week, and Philip gave us the three fundamentals of logic. A thing is what it is, and a thing cannot be what it is not. I love that. We use it this week on some other stuff. But here it is. A thing is what it is. God is righteous. He cannot be unrighteous. We are unrighteous. We cannot be righteous. Period. It's that simple. I love that. God is perfect righteousness. Man is completely unrighteous. Point three. The issue now. The one and two are facts. Now point three. The issue. We must have the perfect righteousness of God to be reconciled with God. We are not righteous. He is righteous. We must have His righteousness to be reconciled with God. That's the issue. The problem. There is nothing we can do to make ourselves something that we are not. That is perfectly righteous. There's nothing we can do to make ourselves what we're not. We're not righteous. You cannot get righteousness out of unrighteousness. It's like trying to get a lemon out of an apple. It doesn't work. You cannot make yourself what you're not. You cannot make yourself righteous. And righteousness is what we need to be reconciled with God. Any problems through four? It's very simple. Giving someone the gospel. From the beginning, man has tried to make himself righteous before God. Adam and Eve started right off from the beginning. After the fall, the work of the fig leaves. Let's go get fig leaves and we'll be right with each other and then we'll be right with God. Right from the very beginning, we tried to solve our own problem. Right from the beginning, we tried to do the works. And yet, all efforts of man to be righteous before God will fail. We cannot be. You mean if we could live a sinless life would not make us righteous before God? No. It's impossible to do that, but if we could, still wouldn't make you righteous before God. That's why Paul says in Galatians that the law cannot make us righteous. Cannot do it. So a man made an effort. He saw the problem. Okay, God is perfect. I'm imperfect. I've sinned. I've got to make myself right with God so I can do it. I'll go to the fig tree. Put on clothes and we'll be all right with God. Okay. Five. So, since man thinks he can make himself righteous before God, God sent the Mosaic Law. Why did God send the Mosaic Law? Not to make us righteous. Not to save us. He sent us the Mosaic Law to show man that he cannot be righteous by his own doing, by anything that he does in the flesh. People forget the 1,400 other. We can't even keep the first 10. I mean, we flunk out at just 10. Then we want to add about 1,400 more. Okay. So, this should be no problem. Point six. Solution. We've had the issue, we've had the problem, and now the solution. Seeing his hopeless condition and seeing that through the gospel we can come to God through faith in Jesus Christ and be made righteous by simple faith in Jesus Christ before God. This is seen in Job. In the 10 questions of Job, how can a man be righteous before God? Nothing by anything he does. The whole Bible spends its time answering that question. And then finally, point seven. When he believes in Jesus Christ, we are raised up in righteousness, God's righteousness. It's as simple. We have what God is, what we are, the problem. We can't solve the problem. God solved it by having His Son go to the cross and be raised again in our behalf. Okay, in that day, God will judge the hidden things of men according to my gospel. Now, we have spent a great deal of time on the gospel from Romans 1:1. Gospel of God, various designations for God, the gospel of promise, the gospel of the kingdom, gospel of God, gospel of His love, gospel of Christ, gospel of Jesus Christ, gospel of the glory of Christ, gospel of grace, gospel of salvation, the gospel of peace, all the same gospel. That's how extended we can get with it. But John 3:16 is the simplicity of the whole issue. All right? Now, in this passage, Paul refers to this gospel as my gospel. People, this should be all of our attitude. We should study all those that we study. I think there are 11 of them. Designations of the gospel. It's my gospel. It's my hope. It's all that I have to offer the world. That's all. Not going to go over to Africa to help them economically, help them socially, all these type of... No, got the gospel. I've got what you so vitally need. In that day, God will judge the secrets of men according to my gospel through Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus is used 91 times in the New Testament. Jesus Christ is used 137 times. Jesus refers to the humanity of Christ, used when emphasizing his humanity. Christ is used to emphasize the deity, the messiahship of Jesus Christ. So I want you to note in this passage now, they are not judged according to their sins, but according to their attitude toward Jesus Christ. Sins were taken care of on the cross. Thanks to him for that. You are born into the world forgiven. Everyone is born forgiven. The only issue is your attitude toward Jesus Christ. So we'll resume verse 17 about three or four Sundays from now. I want to spend our closing moments on getting ready for all of us going to Africa. Now, what we're going to do here, just let me get through this quickly. I should have put this at the end, but I didn't. Okay, we're going to go to Africa, and let me go over here and get this so we can see what we're going to do. Just to give you a big picture of where we are, this is all, of course, Northwest Africa. And for you music lovers, there's Casablanca. So I just do that in. And but here's where we're going to be going. We're going to be going down here there's Nigeria where we've been. Now we're going to Ghana. And then from Ghana, we're going to go over to Liberia. So let's get a closer picture that you see what we're dealing with. Okay, here is Ghana, and we're going to land in Accra from London, and land in Accra, and we'll spend time in Accra with some pastors there, and then go out into the villages to meet with some other pastors that can't get in to Accra. They don't can't get around like we do. They either have to take a bike or get a ride or maybe take a bus, but a lot of them walk a long way. They'll walk a half a day to come in and study the Word. So this is Ghana. And then you go over to Liberia's here. And we arrive at the capital of Liberia. Pastor James is there, Pastor Nat is there. And he has already, he got in touch with Dan. And he said, Dan, we got more pastors than what I even thought we'd have. And so I'd like to feed them if we can for about 3 or 4 days. And so Dan said, well, how much would that be? And we got a number. And for our part, will be about 150. And then Dan will pay, and then the Grace Gospel Missions will pay. And I just think that's wonderful that he's got pastors that want to come in and learn. And my total message is going to be how just to be steadfast in regard to the gospel and for the unbeliever, the gospel for the believer. I'm not going to give them too much more in the Bible. I'm going to hammer that home and tell them they're going to hear other people say things, other people telling them they need to do this, they need to do that, and nope. All you got to do is trust the one that God sent. All right, let's open the Bible, if you will, to Mark 16. Mark 16. Mark 16. And we're going to look at one verse in Mark 16. Verse 15. Mark 16, verse 15. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation, the good news of eternal life salvation. So, first of all, it's our job to evangelize the whole world. And what is we to do? Preach the gospel. Not denominations, not rituals, not movements, not moves like the charismatic movement, not religion, but the simple gospel. That's what we're to give. Issue here, do you know the gospel? And we've already seen many preachers and denominations and people do not teach the true gospel. That's the horrible thing. And so, by the death of Christ, sins are forgiven. By his death and resurrection, eternal life. All yours by faith alone, in Christ alone. We've been given this commission. All of us. Now, we all don't go, but we send. All right, let's look at the Gospel of John 14. The Gospel of John 14. Those of you that come on Wednesday night, don't get nervous. Gospel of John 14. Verse 12. Gospel of John 14, verse 12. Truly, truly, I say to you, the works that I do, shall he do also. In fact, greater works than these shall he do, because I go to the Father. Let's comment on the greater works for a moment. It's not greater in number. It's greater in quality. Jesus Christ is clearly said to come for the Jews. And if you recall, in chapter 12 of the Gospel of John, some Greeks came to Andrew. And we think Andrew was probably a Gentile, or at least half Gentile. Excuse me, Philip. And they said to Philip, "Hey, Philip, we want to meet Jesus. We want to talk with him." Well, that freaked him out. Philip did not know what to do with that. Christ had came for the Jews. Here are some Gentiles, dog Gentiles, and they want to speak to him. So he goes to Andrew, his friend, and he said, "Hey, Andy," I don't know what he said, "listen, these Greeks want to meet Jesus Christ. What are we going to do?" So, you know, when you're a little afraid, you have two, makes it a little stronger. So they both went to him. And they said, "Jesus, got some Gentiles that want to meet with you." And what does the scripture say? He knew his hour had come to be crucified. Why? Because now was going to be the gospel and all. It's going to, not that it wasn't before, but now it's going to be permanently open to all the world. And that's the greater works. The greater works is bringing in. He came in with the works of bringing in the Jews. We have the opportunity of bringing in all Gentiles into the body of Christ. So that's the greater works. Now let's look at Acts 1. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. Acts 1. I were talking to some young man just starting out his ministry. I tell him to do what I didn't do, and that is to try to start off in Acts. This gives you the whole outline of the first century of Christianity from 30 AD up to the time that John wrote Revelation. But I didn't do it, so that's for that. Okay, Acts chapter 1, verse 7. We're going to read 7 and 8. "And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or epochs which the Father has fixed by his own authority." When's the rapture going to occur? I don't know. Nobody knows. I don't have to worry about it. It could come tonight. It could come right now. Don't have to worry about it. That's his problem. And he's already got it worked out. But, verse 8, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses." People, you need the power of the Holy Spirit to be his witness. "Shall be my witness, both to Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria," "and even to the remotest part of the earth." It's our purpose to give the gospel. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians 6, and we're going to start just looking at verse 18. Ephesians 6, 18. "With all power and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit." People, only prayer in the power of the Holy Spirit, being led by the Holy Spirit, prayer to God the Father, being led by the Spirit, reaches the throne. The only exception to that is when an unbeliever expresses to God his faith in Jesus Christ. But as far as our prayer, we could spend hours praying. It's not in the power of the Spirit, people. It's you're just doing a mental work on your own. So it is such a tragedy that so few prayers reach God. Because prayer is a wonderful privilege. It's a wonderful power. It's a wonderful calmness of the soul to communicate with him. But you want to be sure you're in the power of the Spirit. And with this in view, First of all, be in the power. First of all, be in prayer. Second of all, be in the power of the Spirit. In view of those two things, be on alert. Be on alert. People, you're going to have all kinds of interferences to your prayer life. Well, I'm not just talking about things like work and things like paying. I'm talking about things like TV. Things like that are fun. But they can also be a husband, a wife, a friend, family member. It can be all these things. But you want to be alert because there's going to be every kind of opposition. Remember, it's a spiritual warfare. And Satan's going to do everything he can to keep a prayer warrior from praying. Now, you may slip. If you're not a prayer warrior, you may be able to slip by and he not see it. See, because he doesn't think you pray too much. But I'm being funny. Good grief. All right. And with this in view, be on alert. With all perseverance, regardless of opposition, regardless of suffering, be in perseverance in your prayer life. And petition, prayer, for all the saints, even those who have done you wrong, even those who have hurt you. This is why spiritual love is so important to your prayer life. If you harbor hate, anger, resentment of another believer, people aren't going to be able to pray for them, not in the power of the Spirit. Spiritual love is powerful in so many areas of our life, but it's so powerful in prayer life. Now, verse 19. And pray, and here's my request of you as I get ready to leave. And pray on my behalf. Why? That utterance. This is speaking the words that God would have him to speak. Divine guidance of the tongue. Speaking the words that the Holy Spirit can use to convict the hearers of the truth. That the utterance may be given to me by the Holy Spirit. Given to me by the Holy Spirit. Not myself energizing them, but given to me by the Holy Spirit. In the opening of my mouth. Now, I don't need the Holy Spirit to guide me in opening my mouth. I can open my mouth all the time. And generally do. But we want it to be in the power of the Spirit. We want it to be led of the Spirit. In the opening of my mouth. To make known with boldness, not apologizing, not in a soft voice, but with boldness, the mystery of the gospel. The mystery of the gospel, the mystery of the good news, is that Jesus Christ has come, died on a cross, been buried, and rose again to offer us eternal life. Verse 20, for which I am an ambassador of the gospel, in chains, physical chains, physical suffering, that in proclaiming it, I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Add to that, you can just write it down, don't turn to it, 2 Corinthians 3:12. Having therefore such a hope, we have boldness in our speech. We don't need to apologize, we don't need to, you know, we have this hope, this confidence in the gospel so as to teach that. So, my prayer is for you to be in prayer for Dan, and Pat, and Joe, and myself in the giving of the gospel with boldness to the pastors we speak to, and then on Sundays we speak to various churches. And I think Dan said we got three different churches. And presenting the gospel, and that we will depend on the Holy Spirit. And so that's the main focus of the prayer. But of course we pray for safety and travel, safety and health, and returning, and all these types of things. But just request that you be in prayer for us as we go to Africa, for you, representing you. Because without you, we wouldn't be going. So just want to close by saying, as I leave for Africa, how much I appreciate this assembly. How thankful. I am to God for you. For our closing prayer, what song are we going to sing?
Let's stand together and sing song number 208.
We
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this assembly. We thank you for the opportunity that you've given us now to take the gospel to both believer and unbeliever, to those people in Africa who will be there to hear. Pray, Father, that you will start preparing their hearts, their souls, their minds for opening up and seeing the truth, how to be saved and the truth of how to be filled with the Spirit. That you, Heavenly Father, will prepare anyone that we may meet on our travels, on the plane, the airports, wherever we may be, Father, that we may meet some people that need the gospel in one way or another, that we will be prepared, alert to that, Father. Father, I pray that you will keep those of this assembly safety while I'm gone. Be with Philip as he teaches. Let's all come back together again, Father. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.